Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
This is the Herd, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. This week, no television at all. Not on TV at all this week. Don't have to deal with my ugly face. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, Sirius XM 83. Put our stuff up on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. Joy Taylor is joining me 1 hour from now. Colin Wright, Colin Wrong. For the next week, we get to do a radio show, which you started in radio. And I started in radio. And so Joy Taylor and I, these are like the good old days. You started in Miami radio.
Yep.
That's a good first market.
We're going old school. Well, I went to school there, so.
That's a big market to start in.
It is. It is. But that's, you know, I encourage people to intern. That's how it works.
Did you intern?
Yeah. I interned. My first job was actually the place that I had my first internship.
Oh, that's, so they must have, you must have been a good intern.
I was great at getting
coffee,
half of
them I can't get out of the building fast enough. You're one of those interns, everybody's like, oh yeah, she could actually work here.
I mean, that's the goal of getting an internship.
Yeah. So we get it's kind of a screw-off week. When I mean by that, it's fun, it's loose, and we just, you know, we're knocked off, obviously, because of the Women's World Cup, which tomorrow the United States plays, actually, and excited for that. Much more dependable than our men's national team. I'll get to that later. Because Kevin Durant, here's the injury update. The Warriors, he practiced. According to two reports, he wasn't very good at practice. Of course, he's not very good at practice. He's got a calf strain. This series, it's 3-1 Toronto, and I think the series is over, and I think they win tonight. I don't think this is a very complicated series. I said before the series, I think I picked Golden State in six. Joy, you picked, what was your final pick?
I picked the Raptors in seven.
Okay. So I'm on the wrong side of that one. I think one of the things I said before the series, length is something that fans don't talk about, but every scout I've ever known talks about. I had a scout, Mark Warkentine, years ago said, you know, Scottie Pippen, twice a game deflected a ball, Chicago ended up with it. That gave Michael Jordan two more possessions. He made one. He goes, Chicago Bulls won a lot of close playoff games. Length matters. Well, Mark Gasol, Pascal Siakam, Serge Ibaka, Kawhi's one of the longest 6'7 guys on the planet. And who's hurt for Golden State? Their longest player, Kevin Durant. Kayvon Looney, 6'9", missed a game. Boogie Cousins is running around the court about 60-70%. In the NFL, you would call this a cluster injury. When you have like three receivers go down or four offensive linemen are hurt, it's called a cluster injury. The Warriors have a cluster injury with their bigs. And it is a huge disadvantage against one of the biggest, longest teams in the NBA, Toronto. Toronto's shooting 45% in this series. And my takeaway on this, I've watched four games now. They're just getting more easy baskets. This is where KD's length, Boogie at full strength length, would be a factor. It's not just offense. You're not missing just Kevin Durant's offense, obviously. But Kevin's a good defender, and Kevin's one of the longest players in the league. Golden State's not getting as many easy baskets. So Toronto, not known as a great shooting team, is shooting 45.5%. Golden State, known as the world's best shooting team, is shooting 43%. What does that tell you? Golden State's struggling to get easy looks. Toronto's getting more easy looks. And over the course of a series, 6'11.5 KD hasn't played. 7-foot Boogie not playing well. 6'9.5 Kayvon Looney missed a game, playing about 75%. And those guys are running around at 70% or not playing at all, chasing a very, you know, Serge Ibaka is swatting things left and right. Pascal Siakam, for his size, is incredibly athletic and nimble. And I think that's the series. The other thing, it's playing a psychological effect. I saw Sam Amick of The Athletic said yesterday that, you know, the team, there's confusion, there's angst in the locker room. Is he going to play? Is he not going to play? And I think there's a psychological impact now is they don't know. You know, I said this years ago. I used to cover Rasheed Wallace. Rasheed Wallace is one of the most talented players in NBA history. And I say that Rasheed Wallace just happened. His prime aligned with Tim Duncan's prime and Kevin Garnett's prime. So here you had in the Western Conference, Tim Duncan, the best four in 20 years. And you had Kevin Garnett, one of the best fours in the last 20 years. And Rasheed's career just lined up with him. The difference is you knew what you were getting every night from Duncan and Kevin Garnett. You kind of knew the game you got. with Rasheed, I thought he was just as talented. But Rasheed, you never knew what you were getting. He was a goofier personality. He's one of the best defensive bigs at his size, that position. And go ask Tim Duncan and Kevin Garnett. They hated playing Sheed. He was one of the longest players ever. But you never knew what you were getting with Sheed night to night. You did it with Duncan and Garnett. And with the Warriors, they don't know what they're getting with Kevin Durant. And they're sitting around talking about it. Are we going to get Kevin? Are we not going to get Kevin? And I think it's playing a psychological effect. So if he returns, I have real doubts he would add anything. And I don't know if I'm Kevin Durant. If I'm not 100%, I'm not sure I would play. So that's kind of my takeaway. I don't think this is a wildly complicated series. I think you have a series of cluster injuries in your size for Golden State. It's getting Toronto more easy baskets 5 or 6 times a night, 6 or 7 times a night. It's getting Golden State not that general easy look from Kevin Durant, and that's the difference in the series. And let me shift to this. I think it's been a bit of a dud. Not all NBA finals are great. There was the LeBron's first trip against Tim Duncan. Listen, there's a reason Hollywood pays movie stars $20 million. Kevin Durant's a star. You can't take Kevin Durant, Kobe, Shaq, Michael, LeBron, Magic, Bird. You can't take one of those guys out of a finals and say there's no impact at all. The ratings are down about 20%. Some of this, probably 10% of it's Canada. Obviously, Toronto doesn't count for our ratings. And another part of it is we don't have Kevin Durant. I think he's the best basketball player in the world. I was watching a movie yesterday. I like serial killer movies. I'm not going to get into that. But I've seen Zodiac 2 or 3 times. Zodiac's a good movie. The Zodiac killer, the Bay Area serial killer. They don't know who it is, blah, blah, blah. But the movie's a good movie. It's not great, but it's good. It's not like Silence of the Lambs. It's not that level. But what makes the movie more consumable is Robert Downey's in it, Jake Gyllenhaal's in it, Mark Ruffalo's in it, and they're like, oh, those guys are like Avenger guys. Like, these are guys who got like great actors, right? And so it gives it a gravitas, a feel, a bigness that it wouldn't have if it had just kind of D-list actor people. And there's a reason those guys are stars. They feel bigger, you know. Every time Mark Ruffalo's on the screen, Ruffalo, every time he's on the screen, he owns the scene. Like, he's just one of those guys, got a lot of texture. He's a very good actor. There's a lot of guys like that for me. Ed Norton, Don Cheadle, Ray Liotta, they're on screen. I can't take my eyes off them. They just feel big and textured. And they made the movie an average script. It's okay. It's pretty good. They make it feel big. And this series doesn't feel as big. We got no Kevin Durant. But I also think, take the NFL out of it. Hockey, baseball, and basketball. You could take a third of all those leagues out, a third of the franchises. It wouldn't affect it at all. The leagues, networks don't even put the bottom third of the NBA on TV, the bottom third of hockey, and the bottom third of baseball. In the NFL, outside of 2 or 3 teams, Miami's supposed to be the worst team in the NFL. I'll watch. They got Josh Rosen. I'll watch the Dolphins. So who is in the finals matters in baseball. Yankees feel bigger. Cubs feel bigger. Dodgers feel bigger. Red Sox feel bigger. In hockey, Chicago Blackhawks feel bigger. If you had the Montreal Canadiens or the Detroit Red Wings or the Pittsburgh Penguins, they'd feel bigger. And in the NBA, it does matter that you have your stars. And, that's why the Pistons team, the Mavericks team that won, and this Raptor team will be far more forgettable. And so I just think that these finals, it's a bit of a dud, and the ratings indicate that. But here's the other thing, is that, and I don't blame the players for this because I try not to lecture, but I say it all the time, evolve. Watch what's happening to cultures. I said when I went from the other place to Fox, I noticed the culture of podcast and digital, YouTube and Facebook was exploding. So when I came over here, my sense was I'm just going to grab my surfboard and ride this digital podcast wave and my numbers will increase. Whether I did as good a show or as a bad show, the numbers are exploding. So I watched the culture, which I considered a big digital wave, a big podcast wave. I just grabbed my surfboard, boom, take the wave. Let the culture do the work for you to some degree, right? And I don't blame NBA stars for what I'm about to say, because I'd be doing the same thing. Kawhi Leonard admits yesterday, yeah, the only reason I'm this good, I took 22 games off. Kevin Durant's hurt. Clay's hurt. Boogie's hurt. If you're an NBA star, are you watching this finals thinking, I'm not playing 82 games next year? That'd be stupid. Why would I do that? I mean, we have all over this country and the world, people are talking about a 4-day work week. Work less, work smarter, work a little longer on a day, but don't work every day. Work 4 days a week. That's a real trend. I think in America over the next decade, and I firmly believe in this as a trend, four intense days, give people a Friday off. By the way, all you business people that freak out, people are going to shop more, eat more, sex more, recreate more, spend more. It's great for business. Not bad. It's great. Ask your employees to work 10 hours, not eight, to get Friday off. Guess what? Your employees will be out. People coming to your business shopping. So my takeaway on the NBA is how can players watch this finals, especially star players, and not come to this conclusion? I'm taking 20 regular season games off next year. Now, this is not a problem the NFL faces because with only 16 games, you know, guys are dying to get on the field when they're hurt, and games tend to have more impact. But you have an 82 regular season schedule, and, you know, the power in the NFL is in ownership and management and coaching. The power in the NBA is the players, especially the star players. And I think you're going to have a little bit of a runaway train that Adam Silver knows is coming. That's why Adam Silver this year, All-Star break is longer, fewer back-to-backs. Adam Silver sees this runaway train coming. It's going to be a real challenge for the NBA because I think you're James Harden and you're LeBron James and you're Kevin Durant and you're Steph Curry and you're Kawhi Leonard. I think they're going to look around and go, look at these finals. Kawhi's the best player because Kawhi's not hurt. Kawhi Leonard came out yesterday and said, the reason I'm so effective is I took 22 games off. And this is not, you know, every league has challenges. I think this is going to be a real challenge for the NBA going forward. I think this is going to resonate with players. I think guys are looking around and the regular season, which has never been watched much to begin with in the NBA, it's pretty much about the playoffs, the finals, and free agency. I think you have a little bit of a trend resonating in this league right now. Guys are looking at all these guys hurt in the finals, and they're going to say, what the hell am I worried about Denver on a Tuesday night? Kawhi Leonard's now being called the best player in the world, and Kawhi's like, the only reason I'm here is I took 22 games off. So I think that's a little bit – you know, I think the finals is missing stars, a little bit of a dud. I do think leagues ebb and flow. I mean, the NFL's had a violence problem, a CTE problem. OTAs now, there's much less hitting. College football during the season, there's almost no hitting anymore. I mean, it's like I've talked to coaches across the country. They're like, our hitting has been just taken off the board in practice. We want healthier kids playing. So leagues have challenges. I do think there could be a little bit of a runaway train here on the I'm taking a lot of regular season games off for stars because I'm watching this final and my takeaway is, why is Kevin Durant playing 78 games? What's the point of this? I mean, do you realize, John Goulet told me this morning, the Warriors over the last 5 years have played 109 extra games. Well, what the hell are you playing? What are you playing Memphis for in January? I want my guys available. So Kevin Durant went through full shoot-around, getting treatment now. Still a game-time decision, Steve Kerr says. God, I wish they'd just keep it quiet. Play him or not. Good Lord. This roller coaster day-to-day, whether he's playing. Well, he's gone through a workout. I think the series is over. I don't think KD coming back is going to change it. I really don't. I cannot see the Raptors going and losing two home games. I mean, first of all, it's hard to beat anybody three times in a row. I think the Raptors are going to win the series. Didn't initially, but I do now.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So Rajon Rondo sat down with Rick Bucher this past week. They went and had lunch. Bukes told me about it. Well, the story came out a couple days later, and there's all sorts of great quotes here from Rondo, who's always been, he can sometimes not be as functional. He's one of these guys, he doesn't suffer fools easily. And if you can't play at his level intellectually, it just gets worn out. And he's kind of rigid. He kind of has the coaches I know that have dealt with him said he's sort of a coach on the floor. He can be tough. I mean, Doc Rivers is pretty easy to get along with. He battled with Doc Rivers. He battled with Rick Carlisle. Those are pretty easy coaches by coaching standards to get along with. But Rondo's bright as hell. And he's talking about, it's a fascinating opinion on being with the Lakers this year. And he talked about what happened at the trading deadline when Kuzma, Brandon, Lonzo, Josh Hart, their names all showed up in the paper. They're getting traded. He said, listen, every guy on our team, LeBron was their favorite player growing up. Everybody had his shoes and they had his jersey. Biggest fan in the world. It's like you're playing with MJ. And then you get there And it's like your mom and dad or that person you looked up to, they don't want you. He goes, it even freaked out the old guys. I'm not going to say a name, but I'm sitting there on the bench for the Atlanta game right before the All-Star break. And the old guy's cussing and talking about the situation. I'm like, dude, snap out of it. This blank is over with. But even veterans were freaked out by it. And I think this is something that in basketball, there's a very unique, specific culture that doesn't exist in any other sport in America. The shoes. So you start wearing your favorite basketball player's shoes when you're 7, 8, 9, right? Like they're a thing. You don't wear, you never talk about wearing Drew Brees' shoes or Russell Wilson's shoes or Patrick Kane of the Blackhawks shoes, skates. You know, it's not the way it works. Maybe in golf a little bit, you use Tiger's clubs or whatever. But so at 7, 8, 9 years old, you're wearing your idol's shoes. So that is a deep, visceral, emotional connection that you don't have with other athletes. So then you enter the league, if you're one of the rare great players, and you're on not only your idol's team, but you've been wearing his stuff. So the emotional connection is far deeper. And Magic and LeBron, superstars, I always thought were just way too glib on this trading deadline thing. These guys just got to get used to it. And these guys just got to get... No, that's because you've never been these guys. You were both into the league. Remember, LeBron entered the league as a superstar. Magic entered the league as a superstar. You know, a lot of guys, Dwayne Wade, Marquette, then by like year four, you're like, oh my God, this kid down in Miami, he's a star. LeBron was a star at 15. Magic was a star at 18. And so as superstars, they just didn't understand. I get it. I mean, it happens. They didn't understand the magnitude of the players in the room. Everybody looked up to Magic and LeBron, mostly LeBron because of the age. Remember, the NBA and Nike had a Be Like Mike campaign. There's never been a Be Like Brady campaign. In fact, if you look at Brady's marketing, it's not about you and I being the same. Tom is saying, hey, my life is amazing. I'm going to live to be 140. If you'd like to join me up on this private jet, wearing my Uggs in kale pajamas, even the mattress Brady sells is like the most expensive mattress. Tom is not saying I'm one of you. Tom Brady is saying I'm living an elevated life. Would you like to come join me? That's why I always defended Tiger Woods. When Tiger Woods never said he was you. Go look at Tiger Woods was like, bruh, American Express. That's American Express is what rich people use. You know, MasterCard's what everybody uses. When people said, Tiger Woods, what am I going to tell my kids? Tell them he's the greatest golfer you've ever watched. They're your kids. That's your problem. Don't have sex if you can't handle the parenting. Tiger Woods never said he was you. He never, John Daly said he was you. I drink too much and smoke when I play golf. That's what I see in a public course. That was his marketing. Now, Peyton Manning's marketing has always been Oreos, mid-sized cars. So if Peyton Manning does something, I'd be tougher on Peyton. Tom Brady's never done that. I wear Uggs. I'm married to a supermodel. Would you like to join me on the private jet and live to be 140? Then buy my book and go to my age clinics. That's his marketing. And so in basketball, everybody can buy shoes, right? They're expensive, but you buy shoes. So all these kids buy shoes, and they're emotionally connected to LeBron. LeBron comes in. They love him. He's like, I'm not really interested in the kids. They're all like, I can trade it down to the neighborhood. And I don't think LeBron ever quite understood that. And I guess you probably wouldn't, right? Because you've never faced it. LeBron didn't come into the league. I mean, he loved Jordan, but LeBron was a superstar at 16.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
All right, we do it on Mondays. Colin right, Colin wrong. I make a lot of mistakes. Hold myself accountable. Here we go.
Where Colin was right?
Well, I said, the story broke 10 minutes after my rant. I said, Mark Stevens, Warrior owner, you got to kick him out of arenas. And I would have kicked him out of the owner's circle, and people said, you're kind of harsh, Colin, you're overreacting. Well, 10 minutes later, the NBA dropped the hammer on him and said, you're out of our arenas, and we're giving you the second largest fine ever. I still contend that they went a little light on it. Most people disagree with me, but it is unthinkable to me that in this day and age where everything, every piece of video, you're always on camera, forget just an arena, a shopping mall, a grocery store, that an owner would not only shove an NBA player, but drop multiple F-bombs. And the NBA came in harsh, not as harsh as I would have, but nonetheless, a lot of you, your initial reaction was, Colin, you're being ridiculous. And the NBA said, no, not really. Out of arenas for a year, second largest fine ever. And I think they got it right, mostly with Mark Stevens.
Where Colin was wrong.
I kept laughing all year about load management. I'm like, who came up with that term? But it's worked. Load management is what Kawhi did. He just took 22 nights off. And, an athlete knows his body better than I do. I think going forward it's problematic for the league to have stars sitting out. And I've always contended the NBA be better at a 60-game, 65, 68-game schedule. But the message is pretty clear. If you look at these finals, give players more time off. And I know they make a lot of money, and let's baby the stars. Ask yourself this. Would this finals be better with a healthy Kevin Durant? Would it be better with a healthy Boogie Cousins? Would it be better with a healthy Klay Thompson, Kevon Looney? Yes. And by the way, Toronto's guys are all dinged up. So the reality is I can laugh all I want at load management. Kawhi Leonard's an advertisement that's the future of the NBA.
Where Colin was right.
Carson Wentz got signed 2 years early to a long contract. Can you stop with the Nick Foles nonsense? Nick Foles is a C+, B- quarterback talent. Can win you games. Very, very coachable. And that's a big thing. I'm not denying that. But Carson Wentz is the future. He is the 10-year quarterback. I think he's an amazing talent. He's one of four or five guys. Patrick Mahomes. They're just different. He's just physically bigger, stronger, faster than other guys. And I love this kid when he came into the league. And everybody in Philadelphia was pushing back. And I was getting a lot of this Nick Foles nonsense. They let Nick Foles walk. And they signed 2 years early Carson Wentz. The Eagles see Wentz and Foles precisely as I see Wentz and Foles.
Where Colin was wrong.
The Warriors without KD are not competitive. Listen, I never said they were better without KD, but I did think they were different, and that different was good enough to win the finals. This isn't really a competitive finals. I think they lose tonight. It's not just his scoring, it's his length. The reality is Kevin is the best basketball player in the world, and he's probably the longest basketball player in the world, and Toronto's getting a lot of easy looks down low, and, you know, Draymond, you're big. Yeah. Boogie Cousins. It's really been a disaster matchup. And I do think Kevin Durant alone being inserted in, if he was healthy, would change the series. So there's two different Warriors, with and without him. The with Kevin Durant can beat everybody. The without Warriors Kevin Durant can beat Portland and can beat a lot of teams. You're not beating this Toronto team without Kevin Durant.
Where Colin was right.
Rajon Rondo to Rick Bucher confirmed what we had told you all February, March, and April is LeBron James never understood the impact of these trade rumors. Magic Johnson never understood the impact of these trade rumors. Rondo was brutally honest to Rick Bucher saying, not only did it affect our young guys, he said in the interview, the old guys were all worked up. LeBron was their idol. It's like your mom and dad telling you they don't love you. You can go live with your neighbors. And that's why you cannot tell me that if you read your name in the newspaper and you're 21 years old, and this is as much on Magic as LeBron, it's probably more on Magic than LeBron, you cannot tell me a 22-year-old playing for the Lakers, being rumored to be headed to New Orleans, most have never been to New Orleans, would not affect the team, and Rondo confirms it absolutely did.
Where Colin was wrong.
I've never really trusted Kyle Lowry in the NBA playoffs, but he was very good against Milwaukee, and he's been very solid, 13 points, 7 assists in this finals, had 23 in Game 3. He also showed restraint and judgment with Mark Stevens, the owner of the, one of the owners of the Warriors, pushing and dropping F-bombs. He's also had to guard Steph Curry, which is a real assignment. Steph had one great game, but has not had a remarkable series. And so, you know, I he's a guy that for years and years I always felt if Lowry was your second best player, you're not going to win a championship. On this team, he's probably the third best player. There have been nights where Serge Ibaka, Siakam, Mark Gasol have been the second best player. Now, as a third best player, I can take Kyle Lowry, and I think I can get to the finals. But he's been better than I thought.
Where Colin was right.
Been complaining about this forever in baseball. Could you guys occasionally have fun? The old unwritten rule baseball guy is so tired, is so tedious. I'm so over it. So Max Baumgartner, this weekend, Giants hosting the Dodgers. Mac Muncy hit a ball 600 feet into the bay, McCovey Cove, and admired it for, whoa, 3/4 of a second. And Baumgartner didn't like it, ran over to first base, chewed him out, and Max Muncy said this after the game.
You know, I hit the ball, and then he yelled at me. He said, don't watch the ball, you run. And I just responded back, if you don't want me to watch the ball, you can go get it out of the ocean.
Didn't Major League Baseball do an ad campaign? Lighten up, let the kids play. This continues to be a really bad optic for baseball. Cranky announcers, cranky old school unwritten guys. Let people celebrate briefly a 600-foot bomb into the ocean. Ken Griffey did it, we were all okay. And Barry Bonds did it, and we were all okay. And I grew up and all sorts of stars did it, like Reggie Jackson, and baseball was more popular then. Lighten up, old school unwritten rule baseball dork.
Where Colin was wrong.
A.J. Green is arguably the first or second best wide receiver in the NFL. He's a monster. He said this weekend, I just can't see myself playing anywhere else. What? With Andy Dalton? The Cincinnati Bengals are the third to fourth most interesting football team in their own state. Ohio State football, Cleveland Browns. Listen, you've become the Bermuda Triangle of star players. You've disappeared. You're unbelievable. You can't see yourself playing. Do you realize that in the 111 career games, he has 63 touchdowns? When he's healthy, he's 1,000 yards guaranteed. He's one of the great receivers, and I'm not joking here, in NFL history. A.J. Green is an unguardable, dominating player. And he can't see himself playing anywhere else. Yeah, I can. With Tom Brady. Get on the phone.
Where Colin was right?
I never bought the old local radio guy says Kawhi Leonard has bought a house. Kawhi Leonard was asked about buying a house. No, I didn't. It hasn't happened yet. No, I haven't bought a house. Sports writers are generally not real estate moguls. I do not buy stories from sports media, and I've seen, I don't know, 36 of these in my career. So-and-so coach bought a house in Austin, Texas. That means Nick Saban is coming here. No, Nick Saban sent his wife to Austin and made sure the news got a hold of it so that his athletic director heard that Nick Saban's wife was in Austin looking at houses, and they gave him a big fat off-season raise. It is a game. Everybody plays it. There's a reason these stories leak. Story had no validity. Colin right, Colin wrong. On a Monday.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
The Cowboys and Dak Prescott, on the heels of Carson Wentz contract, quote, are not close on a new deal. Everything that I have been told said, Mike Garofalo of the NFL Network said, they're not close. Dak's not close. Cowboys aren't close. Not even close on numbers. And here's the thing about Dak Prescott. On paper, you should pay him. On film, you shouldn't. All right? So on paper, he has 2 division titles. He never misses a start. He won a playoff game, and he's 32-16. On paper, he deserves $33 million a year. On film, he deserves about 22.5 because he misses open receivers. He's got first-round talent all around him. His accuracy is hit and miss. He doesn't throw the ball particularly well downfield. And he fumbles a lot, got kind of small hands, fumbles a lot. And on film, he doesn't pop. On film, Carson Wentz and Patrick Mahomes pop. You got to pay him. On film, Dak doesn't pop. But his resume, that's a popper. And so that's where the Cowboys are at. On film, he's a $23 million quarterback. On paper, he's 32.5. You got to pay him a little more than Carson Wentz. And, you know, you see this in Wall Street all the time. A company buys a company. It looks good on paper. And then this company buys a smaller company, and they get them in-house, and they're like, you know, the synergy doesn't work. It's not the same company. You know, we were on the outside looking in, and I've seen this 1,000 times. I mean, how many of you have worked at a company that you admired on the outside. Then you got in the door and you're like, it's a lot of stress. People aren't happy here. Morale's not good here. Dak is great on paper. On film, not quite the same quarterback. I always say this about websites. On the outside, Twitter, it's so glamorous to own a website. And then I know three people who have, and it's ungodly hours. It never ends. Like, the game's never over. The margins are tiny. But some newspaper corporation or TV corporation will spend $100 million and buy a website, and it's all smoke and mirrors. They don't make any money. I mean, Barstool makes a lot of money selling merchandise, shirts, and their podcast. Their websites, that's a lot of hours and tiny margins, if anything. Websites are the classic, man, on just glamorous. Then ask people who work on websites, and they're like, yeah. I know the guy that used to run ESPN.com, Chad Millman. He's like, it never ends. Like, there's not and the game is over. Or like, as a columnist, I wrote a story. Now I send it to my editor. Or we do a show, Joy and I, and it's done at noon Pacific and we go home. Like, websites are a 24-hour radio show. They never end. And so I think, Dak, you got to figure out, the resume on paper says this, the film says this, and the happy medium is, to me, if I'm Dallas, it's probably going to be around $28.5 million, which is more than I want to spend. But I'll tell you what, he doesn't get hurt, and he's great late in games. You can go look at the numbers. If you're close late, Dak's one of those guys that plays better in crisis than he does without, and you got
to
pay him.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, a little surprise guest today. I came into work and they said, hey, Charles Barkley may call the show. I said, yeah, all right, I'll take that. There's two networks that have the NBA. There's a reason I watch one more than the other. TNT, because of Charles Barkley. He's on a pre- and post-game show. It's the best thing on television during the NBA season. And he's always very accommodating to the press, talks to people all the time. He was a hoot when I covered the NBA in Portland, Oregon. And Charles is joining us. Charles, I'm thinking about this with KD the other day. If I was KD's agent, I could never tell him, go to a worse owner and make less money. I could never tell a player that. The idea that Kevin Durant's going to take less money and go to a lousy owner in New York, if you were KD's agent, what would you tell him to do, Charles?
You know, Colin, as a guy who never won the championship, he would have played with the most talent available. Because losing sucks. I mean, losing sucks. And no matter how much money you make, he's going to make, you know, money from Nike. He's going to do commercials. But, you know, I'm always fascinated when these teams break up because they can't get along. When I got traded to Phoenix, I got Dan Marley, Kevin Johnson, and Sabalos, those guys. I thought I was in heaven. You know, playing in Philly on those teams that sucks all those years, being a one-man band, that's not a lot of fun.
What about Kawhi Leonard in Toronto, where they don't attract free agents? I can win here, but I'm going to have to carry the surplus of the minutes and points. What, as Kawhi's agent, would you tell him?
I would stay in Toronto because I'm going to own a country after they win the championship tonight. He's got arguably maybe the best GM in the league, so he's always going to get him players. I mean, he's done a he might be, no disrespect to R.C. Buford or Sam Presti, I think Masai is the best GM in the NBA. He's done a fantastic job, not just this year, but because, listen, DeRozan firing the coach of the year, putting all your chips in the middle of the table, is one of the gutsiest moves of all time. Because, you know, everybody's going to be on his bandwagon now. If these guys had lost the first round or second round of the playoffs, we would have been killing him.
Yeah.
But now we got to praise that man. Because he could have kept DeRozan, won another 50-some games a year, and got beat in the playoffs and been content. I got nothing but respect for that man to put all his chips in the middle of the table. But, Colin, what's going to be interesting I'm watching all these people talk about free agency. Listen, if you don't get KD or Kawhi, you're not really getting a superstar.
Right.
But what's going to be really interesting, none of these teams, none of these guys can go to teams by themselves. That's what, you know, I hear these guys saying, well, this guy going here, so what if you get that guy? Your team's not going to be much better unless you get KD or Kawhi and another guy. Your team's not going to be in the better. If you get two decent free agents, you're just going to be a middle-of-the-road team paying two guys max dollars for the next 10 years.
Do you think LeBron wakes up this morning? He's got $500 million net worth, a bunch of rings, a great legacy, good guy. But do you think he wakes up this morning and is sort of bummed what the Lakers, like if he could do a do-over, he'd say this doesn't work? Or do you think he reached sort of a, Michael Jordan may have done this, he kind of reached a mogul stage? Basketball's big, but it's not everything. What do you think LeBron thinks about when he wakes up after this past year?
I think he wakes up and says, I owned a state. When I went back to the Cleveland, my legend is already secure, and I can just play. If we win another one, they might make me president if I win another one in Cleveland. Because listen, going to the Lakers, I kind of don't think that was a basketball decision. That was an afterlife decision. He was going to learn the business model from Magic Johnson. And I think he made a mistake going to the Lakers, a huge mistake.
Yeah, I think you're right. Load management. I don't like it, but man, Charles, Kawhi Leonard looks healthier than these Warriors. Is the future of the NBA guys saying, I'm taking 20 games off in the regular season?
Well, if we have our stars taking 20 games off, the NBA won't be around. But we can't be paying guys $40, $50, $60 million and them sitting out 20 games a year, the best players. That's not fair to the game. It's not fair to the fans. Listen, Kawhi is the perfect superstar. He's a no-drama. He just wants to play basketball. He's looked like he hasn't been healthy in some of these games, in fairness. But to get back to your original point, we can't have KD, Kawhi, LeBron, Giannis sitting out 20 games a year. But it's not going to work in the big picture from a financial standpoint overall for the NBA.
I've been lucky, Charles. I've worked at good companies with good bosses, and I've always felt my career, to some degree, a large chunk of it, at least half, is I've been well-managed and well-represented. I would struggle to play for a James Dolan. I would struggle to play for Phoenix. I don't trust the ownership. When you look back at your career, did you value that, undervalue it, overvalue it? Because at Kawhi Leonard, boy, that Toronto's well-run. I'd have a hard time leaving a well-run team. What do you make of the owner playing a part in the free agent decision?
Well, I think a couple of things. Number one, don't sell yourself short. You've been successful for a long time for a reason. That takes talent. You need to pat yourself on the back. When you're able to run shows and people know who you are for long periods of time, you're very talented. Hey, we've only seen the flash in the pan, but you've had a great, amazing career. So that, number one, pat yourself on the back. You know, I've been blessed. I had good owners in Philly, Phoenix, and Houston. To me, the one thing that would concern me, I know if you go to Phoenix, the guy won't let the people who run the organization do their job.
Yeah.
I would have to sit down with Steve Mills and Scott Terrence and wait. Are y'all going to make the decision? You know, I mean, clearly, we all got issues with Dolan. But my number one concern would be, are you going to let these guys do their job? Because, you know, I've heard stories from Steve Kerr, Grant Hill, and those guys. And Robert Sarver comes over 2 and 3 in the morning, talked about trades. I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, this is a general manager and one of the greatest players in Grant Hill. And the owner is coming to the house at 2, 3 in the morning trying to make trades. And you can't have an owner doing that. So, yes, that is a concern. with Phoenix, and like I say, I don't know if Nola stays in or out of it. I got to be honest with you. I'm a big Steve Mills and Scott Perry fan.
Yeah.
But you know one thing that bothers me about this whole thing in the NBA, Colin? I can't – when did we get to the point where we let these teams suck and they just put all their eggs in the free agent basket? Because there's not enough free agents to go around. That's what's going to be really interesting this summer.
20 seconds, Charles. 2020.
Hey, listen. No. We can't let teams just suck and wait to raise somebody free agent every year. That's not a good business model for the NBA.
Yep. I totally agree there.